Yesterday, spending the afternoon with the 10 young people that were cooking and setting up the fire and cooking, and they actually made my supper yesterday. I had my supper here that the Boys and Girls Brigades made yesterday. It was awesome. I was only disappointed because I heard that they only do that once a year and then they don't do that again. We should have it one more time. I hope you're listening, Fiona. It was awesome. It was great. But today, let's get into the Word of God. Luke chapter 12. I want to go straight into the Word of God. Luke chapter 12, from verse 49, we'll read all the way to 59. Please hear God's word. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled on the way, or your adversary may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." What a lovely story. Wow. I hope you make this your favorite Bible passage reading. When they ask you which one is your favorite passage, you say, "Wow, Luke 12, verses 49 to 59. Let's read. Let's pray. God, here we are. We've just read your word. It surprises us, shocks us, might even disturb us. We pray, Lord, that you give us understanding of your word. May we understand your word. That as we understand your word, Lord, we pray that you give us the power to do what your word tells us to do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. So, really, this is a great, lovely passage. And from this passage, we learn these two key things that are important that you need to take to heart. God loves you so much. He says, come to him as you are. He loves you so much. He doesn't need you to start preparing, making yourself something different, making yourself, you know, he says, come as you are. Come as you are. He loves you so much. Broke as you are, rich as you are, tall, short, handsome, beautiful, ugly, as you are. Dirty, poor, rich, come as you are. God loves you so much. But the second thing we learn is he loves you too much to leave you like that. He loves you too much to let you remain the way you are. He says, come as you are. And as you come to him, As you walk with him, he will say to you, show you areas where he says, these things in your life are impure. I need you to change. And he changes you. Because he loves you too much to let you destroy your own life. Because if you are left as you are in big trouble. He loves you too much. So he loves you so much, he says, come as you are. He loves you too much to leave you as you are. And you say to me, and you got that from this passage that we just read? Well, I'm glad you asked. I am glad you asked. So Jesus says, I came to bring fire on the earth. And you're like, what? What is that about? Just so that we get to communion, because I know many of you come on this first Sunday for the communion. So that we get to the communion while you are here, I will not be explaining too much. I'll just show you. So when they heard Jesus say to his, at this stage he was addressing his disciples, and he says, I came to bring fire on the earth. When they heard that, some of them remember it had been John the Baptist's disciples. They all had an idea of what John the Baptist had preached, and they would have remembered what John said back then. Chapter 3 of Luke's Gospel, John talking to the crowds that were gathered when John was preaching. And you know, when you get home, you can go and study this some more so that you will understand that I was not making it up. It's all written here in the Word of God. John the Baptist says this to the crowds coming to be baptized by him. You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children from Abraham. And then he says, the axe is already at the root of the trees. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Fire. Jesus says, I came to bring fire. John the Baptist says, you know, every branch that does not produce will be thrown into the fire. Later on, as he's addressing the same crowd, John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And Jesus says, I brought that fire. John the Baptist says, the axe is already on the root to cut down the trees. The ones that don't produce fruit be thrown into the fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and the fire. And then you say, John, what on earth are you going on? Where was this obsession about fire, fire, you know? And then you remember, they would have remembered, that the disciples would have remembered that John is the prophet who appeared after a long period when there had been no prophet in Israel. The gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament. John is actually in reality in an Old Testament prophet, prophesied in the Old Testament. And that prophecy found in Malachi. I want to get to that. And I am rushing. I could sit here and explain, because this is, well, I'm fired up because we're talking about fire. Malachi had said, see, I will send my messenger Who will prepare the way before me? Then suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of covenant whom you desire will come. After I send my messenger to prepare, then the Lord whom you are seeking will come. And then Malachi goes on to say, and this is chapter 3, verse 2 of Malachi, goes on to say, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. And John comes as a messenger before the Lord comes. And he says, when he, the one that I'm talking about, he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. And Jesus says to the disciples, I brought the fire. I brought the fire. So you will see, because of time, I could have gone on and on and on about how the Bible talks about the fires. But there are three main things that come out about the fires that God talks about in the Bible. Firstly, one of the things that the fire does, there's the fire, the consuming fire of God's judgment. The fire comes as judgment that says, you are wrong, go into prison, go into hell, go into until you pay the last penny. The consuming fire of his judgment. The other thing that is referred to when God talks about the fire is the purifying fire. Fire that it purifies us. We come as we are. Then he purifies us until we become like Jesus. We become like the one who's bought us at a price. The other third thing about the fire that the Bible talks about is the energizing power of God. So here's the thing. For your time, many of you know the Bible. You know what happened on the day of Pentecost? You remember what happened on the day of Pentecost? They were there in that room praying. They were there just praying, waiting for the promised Holy Spirit. And on that day, they saw something that looked like tongues of fire coming down on the disciples. And the disciples, on that day, all these three things happened. The energizing power, the disciples had an amazing power on that day. The purifying fire, look at the early church and see how the early church was so different, and we all admire and wish we could go back to the early church. The judgment, consuming judgment of the Lord. You remember what they said after Peter preached? They were all afraid. They were all like panicking. We are guilty. We've been convicted. What shall we do? And he says, repent and be baptized. You and your children, you will be saved. So Jesus says, I came to this earth to bring fire. But before that fire, I have to undergo baptism. Before you get to Pentecost, I have to undergo a certain baptism. But here's the thing. I said to you, when I read this, I realized God is saying, I love you so much, Paul. Come as you are. People may not understand you. You don't need to pretend when you go before God. You know, for people to accept me, I have to look a certain way. You know, the human heart is terrible. It is deceitful. That's what Jeremiah says in chapter 17. The human heart, you know, if I don't take a bath this last week, since Monday until yesterday, I had no electricity at the house, and the water was very cold. I mean, it's hot, but the water was very cold. You know, but I realized if I don't take a bath, they won't want to associate with me. That's people. But God, I'm not saying God says don't take a bath. But God says, I know you already. Your stinking parts, you're ugly as you are, poor as you are, I know you. Don't pretend. Come as you are. And I've brought fire to purify you. And that purification, as he says, like the silversmith. You heard, we read it in Malachi 3. Purify as fire. And you know, the silversmith working on silver, they would control. They would put their whatever, the ore, they would put it in the fire and control the temperature and make sure that they separate the pure silver from the dross, the pure from the impurities, and they will keep it in the fire and work on it until it gets to what the silversmith would say, that's my pure silver. And you know, for the young people in our midst, you know how they would know that that is my pure silver. The silversmith would be working, keeping it in the fire until the silver that is coming out, the silversmith can look at the silver and see his own image in the silver. Until it becomes like a mirror that shows his own image. Then he says, that's what I was looking for. That's what I was working on. That's why I have this fire burning as hot as it is, purifying this person so that my image will come out. Brothers and sisters, Jesus says, I brought fire on earth that purifies you until people begin to see the image of God that you are made of. Reflect in the way you talk to people, the way you love them, the way you work with people, in the things that you do. People begin to see, this can't be a human being just doing this. I can see God in the way this person operates, the way he loves, the way she forgives, the way she... I can see the image of God. Jesus' fire has done its work. Now here's the thing. So Jesus says, to get to that, I have Jesus to go through a baptism first. And when he talks about this baptism to his disciples, they remembered when he was baptized, Jesus. He was baptized by the same John. Remember, I referred to you, John in Luke chapter 3, those passages I read from John's gospel. John is the one who baptized Jesus. And when Jesus approached John in the river to be baptized, remember, John was like, no, I can't baptize you. And Jesus says, you've got to do this in order to fulfill righteousness. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, you know me, when I talk about baptism, I'm talking about fulfilling righteousness. I came here to do the will of the Father. I came here to fulfill righteousness on earth. And he says to them, there's a baptism I need to go through. On another day, we could talk about the way he referred to his death on the cross as baptism. And he even said to his disciples, are you going to be baptized with the same baptism I'll go through? And they said, yes, we can. Yes, we will. And he says, yeah, you will. Because Jesus had told us that if you want to follow Jesus, carry your cross. But on this day, he is talking about before the purifying fire, before the energizing fire, before the fire of conviction can have its effect. I can't wait to die on the cross. Because, you know why? Because you guys are bad. You are sinful. Come to me as you are. Because sins, I've got to pay the price. for me to start cleansing you, I have to pay the price. For you to reflect the image of God again, when I purify you with my Holy Spirit, I have to pay the price for you. So I have to undergo this baptism. And you all know Jesus died for us on the cross. He died for us. In the interest of time, I hope I don't need to go on. We can have this on the Bible study. We can explain some more. Jesus was referring to him dying for us on the cross. And he says, when that has happened, yes, the fire that I came will start working. And when the fire works, the Holy Spirit comes upon us, starts transforming us. Here is the problem. Do you think it will promote peace on earth? Do you think my coming and my purifying you will promote peace on earth? No. It will cause division. You know why it will cause division? Because you know what? People in the world, people in your family, people that see you, they like your dysfunction. Brothers and sisters, they like you ugly as you are. They love to be better than you. They love to see you the way you are, struggling like them. When you start reflecting the image of God, when you change and you become better, you know, misery loves company. They love to be miserable with you. But when you change and God makes you somebody different, they will turn against you. Even your family members will say, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You're talking about the love of God, forgiveness from God, and you want to forgive that person who's so ugly. You know what the person did to you? How can you forgive? No, you lied to us. Now I don't trust you anymore. How can you even forgive that person? If it is true, you would never forgive that person. But you are reflecting the image of God and you say, because of Christ, I'm changed. And they say, sorry, I can't associate with you. We do know this, brothers and sisters. When you truly follow Jesus, they won't enjoy telling you some of their secrets. You know, they'll be like, oh, you're too judgmental. You judge us. You know, you're too holy. You will judge us. Jesus says, you know, this is the problem. And the problem comes from three main reasons that he highlights in this passage. And I'll give you these three main reasons and I'll put you out of your misery. Give you the communion that you came for. Three main reasons. Number one, people just don't understand the times that they live in. They just don't understand. So Jesus, after talking to his disciples, he said, let me show you. He addresses the crowd. You don't understand the times. You can't tell what time it is. Look at your priorities. Nothing much has changed, unfortunately. Look at our priorities in the world. What is the most important thing that we should... What do you want to be known by? The kind of things that you say, you know what? Before I leave this earth, I'm going to be... I was talking to one friend of mine recently. I was talking to a friend of mine and, you know, this is a friend who lives out in the Murambi area. And I was talking to him and I said, what about church, my friend? And he says, you know what, Pastor, I hear you. I will come one day. I will come. And I said, oh, like when? When will you come? You know, I will come. And I said, you know, what surprises me? I won't tell you, he's not a young person. What surprises me is you act as if you've got your schedule. You know when it will be appropriate for you to say, okay, I've done all the important things. Now I can go to God. I can now reconcile myself with God. There are so many people who've got their priorities wrong because they don't understand their times. When you say to them, brothers and sisters, let's worship God, let's seek God, let's be united with Christ, they'll be like, yeah, just give me time, you know, give me time, it'll be fine. And they become divided from you when you are committed because they just don't understand their time. The second thing is, oh my goodness, people prioritize knowing things that are not the most important things. You understand the weather, Jesus says. You understand the weather. You value that. Knowing that, you know, there are people that will say to you, oh, what can you tell me? I can tell you the weather. I can tell you, you know. But if it was today, Jesus would say, you are able to predict whether your team will win in England or not. You know how trivial we become in life. A person is in Zimbabwe, in Mutare, struggling in poverty. Some players that are playing for a team in England, I won't mention names because I know amongst you, some of them will choose the certain team. I'm not talking about, but you know, they have no idea you exist. But it becomes so miserable at night because they lost. My team lost. But you won't reconcile with God. You won't seek Jesus. You won't walk with Jesus. You specialize, you know, you predict the score. And you know the economy of Zimbabwe. You know, I've met people that will tell you about Donald Trump. You know why Donald Trump is doing that? This is what Donald Trump has got in, you know, his mind. You know, this is why he's doing what he's doing. I understand. They become experts, but they don't know Jesus. Jesus says, why? Why do you prioritize knowing things that don't benefit you? And not desire to know what benefits you. So they don't understand their times. They major in the minors. And lastly, they don't understand the cost. They think it's a play issue. Jesus says, look, I'm here. I'm here telling you are guilty. Make peace with God. Talk to me. Work with me. Before the final day comes. Before you get to the final day. Did you hear that legal advice he gives? He gives legal advice and he says, you know what? If somebody is suing you, try and make peace before they get you to the magistrate. Because from the magistrate you go to the judge will hand you over to the prison guards, to the officers, and you will serve your sentence in jail. I'm here, Jesus saying to them, I am here now telling you, you are sinners, and the wages of sin is death. Talk to me. Let's make peace before the final day comes. Come to God before the final day comes. I love you too much. Don't stay on the path you are on. Come to me and we'll make peace. And when I make peace with you, I pay the price. Remember the baptism he talked about. It's costly. When you refuse, you will pay the price. Either way, there is a cost involved. It's costly. The one is where I pay the price for you. The other is where you say, you know what? I've got time. I know all these other important things. Who cares about my creator? I don't care. And then when your creator faces you, remember where we started in Luke chapter 12, those of you that have been following, where we started, there was a rich fellow who said, look, you know what? I've got so much. Now I'll build bigger storehouses and store all my wealth. And after he had completed building and put everything secure, he says, now you may be happy. Enjoy yourself, my soul, because everything is well for you. And God says, you fool. Today, I want your soul. Judgment day today. I'm taking you. Who's going to be looking after this? So the things you thought are yours are not even yours. The soul that you are telling, my soul, rejoice, it's not yours. I gave it to you. Now I want it. So Jesus says, I came to bring a fire on this earth. The fire is saying, I don't know who I'm preaching to today. The fire of Jesus is simply saying this. Child, people may not understand you. You may not understand yourself. You are my loving creation, fearfully and wonderfully made by me. But along the way, sin messed you up. Come to me the way you are. When you come to me the way you are, I've got the fire that will purify you. And that fire is born out of my love, the love that dies for you. I love you. He will hold you by the hand and show you where you are going wrong, and he will correct you. And when he's corrected you, he will remind you, child, I paid the price for you. But the choice is yours. Do you want to pay the price yourself? You know, even before we get to that final day, brothers and sisters, even before we get to that final day, there are some of us that have, you know what, God just shows me, there are some amongst us that have blood pressure issues, mental illness issues, that they have no peace, they can't sleep at night, you know, and they are troubled. In this life, now, as we are, they go out to all sorts of things to try and find. And Jesus is saying, child, I love you so much. Come to Jesus. And Jesus will sort everything out. He loves you. So today, if this made any sense to you, please talk to somebody. If this made any sense to you, please pray to Jesus. You know, as we start our Shona service today, and in the Shona service, in the English service, we are following the book of Luke. In the Shona service, we'll be following the book of John. In the Shona service, some of you may be there, but I'll just tell you anyway. In the Shona service, we are talking about, you know, how people are so troubled in this world because we are so used to having runners go and get things for us to South Africa, Mozambique, and other places. And unfortunately, what God shows me is that people want spiritual runners as well. Instead of you and Jesus having a relationship where you don't even need me to come and pray for you, Jesus says, come child, as you are, to Jesus. And when you are with Jesus in a secret place, you will talk to Jesus, and Jesus hears you. If he could do it for me, he can do it for you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, may I have those helping at the communion table to please come forward. I see two, okay, three, four now. Okay, thank you. There's this table does not belong to a denomination. You know, we may design these tables in the church, we may place them in different places, but don't be lied to. They don't belong to the church. This is the Lord's table. This is Jesus' table. And it is Jesus who says, whoever comes to me, I will never turn away. All are welcome to this table. It is Jesus who invites all you who labor and are heavy laden, come and I'll give you rest. I'll feed you. He invites you to eat from his table. So we do this because he told us to do so. We know he told us to do so because the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he says, the tradition that I handed down to you, I received from the Lord. That our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night on which he was betrayed, he took bread. After he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, this is my body broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of me. All of you. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he says, this cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Drink of it, all of you, in remembrance of me. You know who was at that table? There were 11 disciples who would run away and desert him when he needed company, when he was being crucified. There was also another disciple who would betray him and even kiss him in front of the enemy so that the enemies could identify him. And he gave them communion on that day. That's how loving he is. So you are invited. Come to the table. Eat from Jesus' table. He loves you. So as we follow his example, we will do as he did on that night on which he was betrayed. He gave thanks for the bread and the drink. So we follow his example and we give thanks for these elements that are on this table. Come, let us pray. Oh God, thank you for all your good gifts. Thank you for your presence here now. Thank you. Thank you for your love. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you may use these elements that are on this table to communicate this amazing, beyond our understanding love that comes from you. That his body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us. May that become real to us in our lives. Use these elements, Lord, to give us a sensation of understanding how much you loved us. Thank you for these elements. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. But then, afterwards, the Apostle Paul tells us as he writes to the Corinthians, he says, each person needs to examine their heart because some of us do this out of our lack of understanding. We think, if they drop a piece of bread, something terrible has happened. It's because of my sin or what? Actually, you are a sinner. He invites you to come and receive from him because he says it's only in his fire that you are saved. Our lack of understanding makes us judge ourselves or judge other people. When you come to this table, it is by grace and grace alone. God wants to forgive you. So let us ask for forgiveness so that we come with clean hearts that trust that God forgives us. Let us pray for forgiveness. Oh God, you, oh Lord, are loving, just, and faithful. Please forgive us. Forgive us for the thoughts that cross our minds, even when we gather in your house like this. Give us the right spirit. Holy Spirit, give us the right heart, Lord. forgive us. Thank you, Lord, for the assurance that you always forgive us when we confess our sins. So help us to receive from your table as a forgiven people. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Brothers and sisters, the body of our Lord Jesus was broken for you and I, for our salvation, because Jesus loves us. This cup is a new covenant sealed in the blood of our Lord Jesus, because his blood was shed to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We will drink today knowing he loves us. That's why he shed his blood. Jesus loves you. Receive.